Well, this week and the next 2 weeks after, I will be preaching through Psalm 19. Now, this famous psalm is one that in some ways might feel like two different psalms. We have this first half, which we're looking at today, which talks about the beauty of creation, the skies and nature, and how God has revealed himself there. But then in verse 7, the psalmist turns into talking about the law, the word of God. Seems like a different shift, but really what we're looking at in this psalm is how we come to know God, how he has revealed himself not only in nature, but also in his word, and what a blessing that is that we do know God. So, looking first then in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There's no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. There is nothing hidden from its heat. This is the word of the Lord. If you walk through any art museum, you're bound to see countless paintings of landscapes. That is, countrysides, rolling hills, mountains shrouded in mist, or that freeze frame of waves about to crash on a beach. Or another way, pick up a collection of poems. And you read through countless musings on the beauty that is seen in nature. Also, so many important scientific discoveries have been made just by observing things that happen in the outdoors or by looking up at the night sky. There is something about nature that continuously invites study. Something about it which raptures our attention to where we can't look away. Eventually come away with a new, fuller perspective of where we are. The psalmist here in Psalm 19 has done just that. He's looked up and come away with a perspective of what God is trying to tell us, what God is trying to show us about himself. Now, the heading in the psalm is a psalm of David, so I may at times refer to David as the author in this psalm. These first six verses here guide us to see how creation is coming together to praise God. And secondly, then what an encouragement that is for us to respond and praise him with our voice. So let's look at what verses 1 through 6 talk about in creation praising God. The main message of this part of the psalm is summed up in that very first line. The heavens declare the glory of God. If you've ever gone stargazing, you can imagine what David has in mind here. You know, one of the things I remember most from a trip I took to Colorado years back was what the night sky looked like. We were up in the mountains, removed from any nearby light pollution, so the sky was completely clear. I was astonished by just how bright the night sky could be. When you encounter something that beautiful, that breathtaking in nature, it gives us a sense of awe. But what is it that we're awed by? Is it the sheer beauty? The scope? Thinking about how what you're viewing is light years away, yet somehow present with you? Or is it maybe the sense that there is a creator behind all of that beauty? That there is a mind and a method that put all this in place and set it into order? Verses 2 through 3 talk about how creation actually praises God. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. You know, during the day, the beauty of the earth bubbles out like a hot spring gushing from the earth. It can't be contained. The beauty of mountains and forests and crashing waves are pushing out their praise to God. They instead seem to scream out. At night, the visible universe is revealed. so much of what we understand about physics and fabric of our reality has been understood just by looking up at the night sky. This is what it means that night reveals knowledge, right? Because Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, talks a great deal about wisdom, the knowledge of God. And when we hear those words, knowledge and wisdom, I think we are often going to think of it as God's cognitive understanding. What are all the things, all the facts that God knows? However, the word that's translated wisdom also has behind it the idea of skill, of craftsmanship, of expertise. The wisdom and knowledge of God, then, is seen when we comprehend the beauty of the spiraled arms of the Milky Way. When we marvel at nebulae and supernovas, our brains are marveling not only at the science that put all these phenomena together, but we're also marveling at the skill by which God has done this, that he did it in a way that is pleasing to us to see. When we look at the petals of a tulip blooming, we're looking at the wisdom of God. That he not only understands the physics, the chemistry, the biology behind all creation, but he has crafted it and arranged it in a way that is breathtaking. David goes on to say, there's no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. And what that means is the proclamation that the skies make, the testimony that the beauty of creation makes. It's not verbal. It's an inaudible cry, which cannot be ignored. We don't need a mountain range to be able to say the words, God made me, aren't I beautiful? It just says it by existing, right? Just by looking at it, you hear those words almost. This inaudible declaration goes to the ends of the earth. So that there's not a place where we can hide from the visible, tangible glory of the wisdom of God. The character of God is wonderfully shown in nature itself, and that wordless cry is felt everywhere. David then talks about how God established the sun. You know, he uses the image of a celestial body, which was commonly worshipped in the ancient world. And he shows that it was just one more thing that Yahweh created and established. Well, many of the ancient people thought of the sun as a source of life and the creator of all things. David explains that it's just one more piece of God's work, like the sea or the earth. David uses this poetic metaphor to describe the purpose that God has placed in the sun's existence. Is set out to bring life and heat to all the world. Nothing is hidden from its heat. There's no escaping God glorifying cries of nature. The heat that the sun brings also brings care and provision of a loving creator God. The sun is not some god to be worshipped, but an object that God made to be a source of his blessing and provision to all people. So if creation is praising God in that way, what does that call for us to do with our voices? Because God will get his praise one way or another. He uses the voiceless beauty of creation to tell the world about his character and his goodness. But we have a voice. We have the ability to praise and to point to him. So let us not be drowned out by the voice of nature. There is beauty that the world still turns, that even in the midst of this time, the world still turns and light and heat are still on its way. As we worry about the future, one thing we can see is that God is still bringing spring and the blooming of blossoms and flowers. The sound of birds I can hear right outside my window right now. The coming warmth, we're told, does partially slow the spread of COVID-19. God is still showing us his care for us in this time. Yet we as humans find so many ways of getting in the way of praising God. Just like light pollution blocks us from being able to see the stars, we find ways of praising ourselves instead of God. We find ways of diverting praise away from Him. For proof, just look around the way we treat one another, treat creation itself. We, though we're made for praising God, instead, with our voices, with our actions, we are remarkable destroyers and disruptors. In our attempts to glorify ourselves, we crush others. We destroy the glory of God that shines in others. We've seen that this week in the horrific killing of Ahmaud Arbery. Evidence of people ignoring the image of God that is given to all people. And rather, we try to consider ourselves better than others to violent ends. Rather than honor what God has created, we destroy with our hate. Rather than look up around us to see creation testifying to God's wisdom, we look down to ourselves and to our supposed wisdom. You know, not only do we allow creation to praise God louder than us, we shout against it. But God, in His mercy, sent Christ to silence the pollution that we raise up, to silence the hate that we sow in the earth around us. In Christ, we see a life living for the praise and glory of God. Christ came to us even though we shout out against God in our violence, our hatred, and our cruelty. God, Christ came to us. In His death on the cross, God's love and mercy was shouted out to the world. Christ's mission of love for us is the greatest moment where God not only showed us His wisdom, His power, but also how deeply He loves us. God not only created the sun to warm our planet and to allow life, but even more, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to recreate us from our brokenness. So, let us raise our voices along with the song of creation. We have voices and actions, so let us join in. Just as the skies and the mountains and the ocean were made to show the beauty of who God is, so are we put here to do the same. Just as God has set a course for the sun to care for us, He set a course for our lives. He sends us through our lives for a purpose of bringing His blessings to others, and we are just as much a part of God's creation and have been put on this earth to receive that beauty He's created. Sometimes we're able to help others know the blessings of God. Other times we are in need of being turned towards God's blessings to realize again what God has done for us. Sometimes it can just be through that inaudible declaration heard throughout the world. There's something simple as the color of trees, or watching the sun dip below the horizon at the end of a day can remind you of how God crafted your life and has taken care of you even up to this moment and beyond it. Often, though, we need more than that. We are oral and aural creatures who need words and contact to bring us back to what God has done. Walking through the woods is not the same as walking with a friend. Listening to waves crash is not the same as hearing them with a friend. That's the beauty of why Jesus has sent us out into the world. Because this is where we're able to bring the good news, the gospel of what God has done towards others. How He has taken us as creatures who pollute with hate and violence, are calling us back through love. Because we are not always able to look outside and figure out what God is doing. We need one another. And most of all, we need the Spirit to continually aid us to trust that there is a direction where all this is going. We have the Spirit who brings us back to the truth. The Spirit who anchors us in what Scripture has told us. Sometimes he uses the simplicity of the beauty that surrounds us to bring us back to the many ways that he's been actively working. That he's not forgotten about the world. He's not forgotten about us. So just as the voice, just as he is the voice of creation, go throughout the whole world proclaiming who he is, so there's no place where his glory is not heard. So God has sent us to do the same. That means taking time on your own to reflect on the beauty around and notice how God is still moving. It means sharing this reflection with others. Maybe, may there not be a corner of the earth that does not know God's care and love because of what we have proclaimed. I want to close this with a quote that I saw a friend of mine post this week, because I think it might help us look just at how abundantly God has blessed us. The quote begins here. My wife and I tend to overgift our kids at Christmas. We laugh and feel foolish when a kid is so distracted with one toy that we must force them into opening the next, or when something grand goes completely unnoticed in the corner. How consumerist, right? How crassly American. How like God? Because we are that overwhelmed kid, not even noticing our heartbeats, not even noticing our breathing, not even noticing that our fingertips can feel and pick things up. That pie smells like pie. That our hangnails heal and that Honeycrisp apples are real. That dogs wag their tails. And that awe perpetually awaits us in the sky. Let us not lose that awe of the simple things that God has put around us. But let's not stop there either. Let us look at the many ways that God has been continually blessing us, that he has poured blessings on us more than we're able to figure out what to deal with. Let us proclaim to others just how lavishly God has done that, and the beauty of his creation, and the mercy of his Son. Let's pray. Father, you have created so much beauty around us, so much that we don't even know what to do with it. Help us to know how to step out in praising you, how to step out in loving what you've done for us in Christ, and offer that hope to others. To give people hope and encouragement in this time, to show them the mercy that you've poured out on us. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Looks to be that we are live. I'm going to stall a little bit for some people who might be joining. I didn't get a chance to start this feed.